Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Mind Body Stuff. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice. And?
Who are you?
Who are you? Are you listening?
I always like am waiting for some sort of an answer.
Like some answer.
Okay, now what?
From the cosmos.
Hello? You. Who's out there? Are you listening? Can there be at least like a crash that happens in the room? Hi.
That's what my dad used to say.
Hey, great aunt.
He would ask her questions, you know. He'd ask a question. One time there was like a big crash against the house.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like something just falling off the house. But he's like, there's Uncle Francis. So now I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, Dad, well, it's your turn. But nothing. Silence.
Anything?
Nothing.
Thank he's you. Gone. He's moved on.
Oh, whatever.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think he's gone.
We just talked about this the other day.
I know we did. But I keep thinking I can call him back, which would be rude.
Yeah, he's probably in a, he's probably doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's probably, he might not even, he might be in a different place too. Like he's not even accessing this place. He's already in another place.
He's gone.
So I'm like, if I shout loud enough, would you hear me?
Dad.
What if I have a crisis?
Daddy.
Remember when I was a kid and I just have crises? Could I do that? Would that work? And I'm like, don't do it.
Don't do it.
So what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today?
Well, we had one of our listeners write in, which we love, by the way, when folks comment
write in. Thank you out there.
Thank you. And she said she wanted us to talk about the question of who you are, like how you change over time, and it was particularly in relationship. So she was saying like, you know, have you ever noticed that maybe your spouse isn't who you married. Like maybe they've changed over time. And
right.
Who is that person now over time?
Right. Well, and I think she even said, do you ever find yourself like unrecognizable to yourself?
Oh, yeah. She did say that. That was a great statement.
Which I think that's great because for me, what that triggered in me wasn't like, it's like, oh my gosh, who am I? Like, who is this person that I've become? It's like mm-hmm. such a great opportunity to like self-reflect.
And how have I changed?
And is this permanent? Is this like a transition or am I just going through something?
And is it good?
And is it good? Like, but what if it's not good? But even if it's not good, it doesn't have to be like a permanent thing. You know, it's like, it's an opportunity to reflect on like, is this a phase?
Right.
How did I get here?
How did I
Why
get here?
Am I here?
How long will I be here
Oh,
for?
No. How long am I going to be here? So what do you think?
I think it's interesting to think about in terms of just watching my friends. Like, I've had some friends. I haven't had a lot of friends, because you know. But I have a handful of friends from, like, graduate school.
Uh-huh.
From, like, almost 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Maybe 15 years ago. And it's interesting to see how everyone's changed over time.
Oh, uh-huh.
From the people that they, like, they kind of got fixated in my memory as one type of person.
Yeah, right?
Like, I have one friend, you know, I met her when she was probably, like, 23 or 24. She's, like, 40 now.
Uh-huh.
And 23 or 24, she's just, like, so easygoing. And she was so funny. And I remember in class, she could not be quiet. Like, I remember just thinking, why does she keep laughing? Like, it was like, we are having a class. And she was just laughing and talking. And
just remind the listeners, you were what, 30, whatever?
Like
you were
late 30.
Late
30. Like 36 or something like
and
that.
And she was like young 20s, which is kind of a big difference when you're late 30s with several children, with like a 23-year-old who's not married with kids,
oh,
without
yeah.
kids.
And she's just like right out of college,
yeah.
into graduate
yeah,
school.
Totally.
And I'm like, you are not behaving.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
And
like, I am here to learn.
Yeah. I'm like, hello. We can't
You got
hear
your
anything.
Little notebook, I
You're
bet.
Still, I have my notebook taking notes, and I'm like, shut her up.
Oh, that's
funny. But I used to love her personality if it wasn't bothering me in class. I hope you don't know who you are, and I hope you're not listening. But now she's super serious.
Oh, interesting.
Like, very serious, kind of quiet.
Uh-huh.
Her whole, like, physical appearance has changed. She was kind of like a party girl.
Yeah.
Super fun. And now she's kind of like very, kind of dresses kind of dowdy, very serious dresser.
Oh, wow.
It's a very interesting change. And I, you know, when you meet people when you're
yeah.
younger, I just didn't think about how people would change. I just
yeah,
thought,
this is
this,
who they are.
This is who so-and-so is. And now looking back, I'm like, wow, such a big change in the last 18 years.
Do you think she notices such a huge change in herself?
I don't know if she does. Like, that would be an interesting question.
You know, some people like intentionally change, though. They're like, well, now I'm this. I better act and dress like this.
Yes. And she has kind of a serious job. Maybe that's why.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting, though? It's like, it's so fascinating to think sometimes, like, do I feel like I need to fit a certain role so I become this person? Or do I just naturally become this new person and then look back and be like, oh my God, where did that other person go?
Right.
How am I this person now? You know, like, I think it can go both ways for people.
That's a good point, because I look at her and I think, like, do you wonder where she went?
Right. But she may be
I don't think she thinks that at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel her feeling any sadness about the other person. Or,
right.
But I look at her and I'm like, is she okay? And is she still in there? And do you miss her?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Or maybe she didn't like her. Maybe she wanted to be more serious, really. Or, you know, maybe she wanted to have that personality. But I just find that so interesting to watch people over a period of time. Because when I think about myself, I don't feel like I've changed that much.
Right.
Maybe I should have.
Well,
I feel like I'm more stable.
As she makes a face, like, could it be true? Well, and if you don't mind me asking, I was thinking about you in this in this context, because you have gone through pretty serious things. Like, I mean, you couldn't leave your house for 2 years.
Yes, that's right.
Is that right? Was it 2 years?
About a year and a half.
That you couldn't leave your house.
Yeah, I had
alone.
Mike go with me.
And then I've even heard stories from Joe where you would have Joe go into the grocery store because you were too anxious to go.
Yeah.
So have you, in those moments, did you or Mike ever think, oh my gosh, like, this is me now. Like, so I guess my question in terms of, like, when
I forgot about her.
when our listener wrote in and said, you know, do you ever find yourself unrecognizable to yourself? I was thinking about you during those times when you're like, because you love going out. You love traveling. You are constantly finding your next place to go. So for me, knowing you only past that time, it's fascinating for me to think about the fact that you wouldn't leave your house, because you're never in your house right now. You're always out and about and running errands and at the ranch and at the lake and going on vacation and going to Hawaii. So when you were that year and a half in your house, like, were you unrecognizable to yourself?
I think I was, yeah. Because I forget about her. I forget how I was, you know, and that was very unusual for me.
Yes.
Because I had been traveling since I was, away from my home since I was 16.
Right. You moved away at 16.
Moved away at 16. And so, but it was a weird, I was unrecognizable. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just immediately thought about this.
For some reason, having a child did something.
That shit will mess you up.
Don't listen, Josephine. But you're much more stable than I am.
Her,
I think.
B's going to be a grandma. Did you guys know that? Yay!
I'm going to be a grandma.
The news is out.
Yeah, pretty soon in March of 2020.
But, it's a little boy.
Little boy.
So excited.
I know, so excited. But yeah, having Joe was like, it just rocked my world.
Right.
And I don't know if I had just been such a free spirit that suddenly it was like, you are responsible for a human and you can't go anywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like everything fell apart. Like, well, then you won't go anywhere.
Yes.
You know, it's like you just can't go anywhere. Of course, I did have probably postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety and all those things mixed in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which we see in people all the time. So.
Right.
But I was definitely, I think Mike was very worried.
I would think as your partner, that would be scary. I mean, I love you, and I would, if I were married to you, I would stay committed through that process. However, that would be scary, I think, to see your partner in a way.
Yeah, he's so patient. Like, Mike just, as you know, we've talked about before, hurt his knee, and I can barely take it.
Right.
And that's a normal thing. People hurt their knees all the time. And he had to do this for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let him touch me. I mean, all sorts of things changed. I became a completely different person.
Yes.
It was like, no.
But you guys went to therapy.
Went to therapy.
Did that help?
That did help. It wasn't like magic pill.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, and then she's all better. No, it was a very gradual processing of what was happening.
Yeah.
And it did get better.
But you've kind of blocked her out.
I blocked her out. I talk about her occasionally.
You do.
But then I forget about her.
Yeah.
And then I think that's why I move so much, because I don't want to go back to
her. You're like, I don't want to go back to that.
Don't let her come back.
Yeah.
because it was very debilitating, as one can imagine.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was unrecognizable. And thank you, Mike, for tolerating me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's so patient.
Oh, my goodness. I'd be like, get up and get out of here. Or you can't go in the grocery store?
Yeah, right? Like, come on, toughen up.
You went to the grocery store by yourself when you were 16.
Yeah, you left the island at 16.
You can't go to the grocery store at 29?
Right.
You can't walk in there?
Right.
Like, I can't walk in there.
Right.
What if I pass out? He's like, so what?
Because you're agoraphobic. Agoraphobia is started because you were passing out.
I was passing out.
After having Joe, and so you were afraid that it was gonna happen in a public place. So then that's why you stayed in your house.
Exactly. So somehow that link happened about, like, I didn't want to pass out in a public place. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to wake up, have people like, are you okay? Can you go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And like, and so that's how that happened. But I was unrecognizable. So
yeah.
That's a tough time in a relationship.
It is.
And how about for you guys? I know you talked to Rob a little bit about.
Well, because when we talked about this listener who then wrote
listener writer
comment, I asked Rob. I'm like, well, have I ever become unrecognizable to you, or do you think you've ever become unrecognizable to yourself? And he was like, no, I don't think so. And I was actually thinking it's because, like, maybe because I'm so dramatic that I'm like, this is just who I am now. You know, it's like, no matter what happens, I'm like, I guess I'm, you know,
I'm this now.
I guess I'm an angry person now.
Yeah.
Or like, I guess I'm just sleepy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just
sleepy,
like,
now.
You know, so I think when I've gone through different phases in my life, I'm so melodramatic that I'm like, this is who I am now.
Right.
You know, it's not like, I'm going through something. How do I get out? I mean, maybe to a certain degree, but just kind of thinking about, just thinking about some of the different transitions we've been through. But it's interesting too, because this weekend I was at a friend's house and she just had a baby. She's kind of having a rough go. Like, she has some older children, but her circumstances have changed. And she's also going through just like some postpartum stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was weird for me. Like, I guess I kind of felt unrecognizable to myself because I was like giving her advice. I'm like, no, 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 you got to do this and you got to get the baby out here. Blah, blah, blah. Like, and I was like talking to her about like giving her advice, mm-hmm. or comforting her. Whereas I'm usually the one who's like receiving advice, because I think there's something lodged in my brain. I think there's something lodged in my brain. Like, I had myself so convinced that I had fertility problems.
Yes.
And like, you know, having the stillbirth, and then I had what, like an ectopic pregnancy, a miscarriage, and another one somewhere in there, you know, and then with like two out of my three babies, I had to use fertility meds. You know, I just kind of like have attached to the idea that like, I have trouble getting pregnant.
Right.
So it was actually.
Oh, that's how you defined yourself.
Yeah. Yes. I never thought I would have three children.
Right.
Like, that was not anything that I saw for me.
You're like, well, I hope I have one more.
I know. No. I mean, yeah, it's just, but even after Hux, I had two miscarriages. You know, there was no sure thing I was going to get another one. And then for the another one just to come out, you know, I was like, so it's actually interesting for me, because when I was like giving this woman advice, who, you know, she just had her third baby, I was like, what? Like, I was unrecognizable to myself this weekend, being like, who am I to be? Yeah, I'm like,
because
I do not consider myself an expert on having kids by any means. Like, I always tell my babysitter, I'm always like, oh my gosh, you are so good at this. And she just looks at me like, what's wrong with you?
She's like, you're the mom.
These are your kids. You're the mom. I'm like, yeah, but you're so much better at this than me. And she's just like, okay. You know, but it's so funny because I don't necessarily identify myself as like a mother, really. Mm. I mean, I obviously know I am, and I have three small kids, but I almost feel like I'm unrecognizable to myself right now, mm-hmm. in a good way.
Yeah,
like,
well,
of course, I'm happy about
it's
this.
It's like a transition period too.
It is.
In a weird way, not in a weird way, in a straightforward way.
Because yeah.
You've defined yourself this one way for so long.
Yeah.
I think. And now you're like, and now I'm this way.
Yeah.
which I think is what happens. And then you'll define yourself as this.
Yes.
And then I think what happens is, again, then the kids go to college. And yeah. I think that's when people, again, go.
Have to figure out how to.
Oh, no, yeah. I've defined myself this way for 30 years or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I just don't think, but I don't know. Like, maybe I will define myself that way, but I don't know if I'll ever feel like I'm an expert at this parenting thing.
Well, whoever feels like they're an expert.
Yeah, but though. You know those moms that you're like, how do you do this? Or do you have advice on, you know yeah. that there's those moms yes, out there that I you're like, you are a, like, you are incredible oh, no, at this, you know?
They're so good. It's almost like they should be teachers, or some of them are teachers.
Some of them are teachers, but you know that there's those moms out there that I'm are. Just like, wow, you have all of this figured out.
Right.
But I will say, like, Huxley, it was her first full day at school, so she had we had to pack her lunch, and I wrote a little note in there, aww. And I put like her favorite stickers, like it just felt really special, and I'm like, I have fantasized about this moment for so long, like yeah. I can't believe I'm actually a mom to a kid who's in school, and I get to put a note in her lunch bag, like it felt very special.
Aww.
So, yeah, I don't know. So I would say, yeah, I had a moment this weekend where I'm like, I don't know why I'm giving somebody advice on their newborn. I am terrified of newborns. Who am I to give advice?
Yeah, you just had three of them.
I know. I'm like, it's fresh.
So it's so fresh. Like, it's fresh. Very hard
ask
for
me in like a year and yeah. I'll be like, I don't know how to take her that.
Like all, I mean, luckily I helped with yours kind of.
Yes.
So it sort of was a memory boost. Like, oh yeah. yeah
and now you'll be on grandma duty a lot here soon.
So then I'll be a rememberer again.
Right.
But it's interesting how are you unrecognizable to other people or to yourself?
Well, and then it presents a funny question. How do people see you?
Yes.
And is the way that people see you a way that you would identify? Like, I was like, why does she listen to me? Or why are you asking? Like, then I'm like, oh yeah, because she sees me as a mom who has a lot of small kids. I should probably know what I'm doing.
Like, remind me how to do this. And also her other kids are a little bit older.
Totally.
So she hasn't had a newborn in a few years.
But like, isn't that interesting to think about how if the way that people see us is yeah. recognizable to us?
That's a very good point. Because I always like, even when you tell the story in at training, I'll give it away, how you don't see yourself as a dancer.
Yeah.
Because when you were young, you didn't have a dancer's body at that time.
I still don't.
But she does kind of now. So
no, I don't.
And I think people look around kind of like, who's not the dancer? Like, it's like, I'm like, well, she thinks she's not, but that's fine. But that's her story. For the people who take the training, mm-hmm. they're like, they see you as a dancer.
Yes.
You know, they're like, that's Kaylee, the dancer.
Right.
You know, but it's so funny because in your mind, you still see yourself as the 8-year-old.
Not dancer.
You know, not dancer. Yeah. Or 10-year-old, not dancer.
Yeah.
And it's funny how it's almost like I'm doing to my friend where I'm still seeing her as the 23-year-old.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Not seeing her that she's
but that's not me.
Into a 40-year-old.
Right.
As she should.
But does she like, but yeah, yeah,
I
exactly.
That's okay.
I hope she's not.
Maybe
yeah.
I should do that too. Maybe no, I should morph into the, you know.
No.
And I think I am more sort of a grand old dame. Kind of like walking down the street, like, hello, sir, open the door for me. Thank you.
Grand old dad. yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I don't know. Then I have this friend who, when I was an exchange student in Spain, so that was what, like 18 years ago at this point. We haven't talked on the phone in like months. I don't know, maybe like 8 or 9 months. And she called this morning and we just started talking. And it's like, our lives have changed vastly, but for some reason, our souls just completely understand each other. Like, I can say one thing and she's like, oh yeah. And we just like, it just, there's no hiccups. There's nothing. And so part of it is like, how amazing that there are then those people in the world who they don't even have to see you to actually, to like know you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like our lives are unrecognizable well said. To each other at this point. Like, we met when we were high schoolers on exchange in Spain. Now we're both like married. We have kids. She's an architect. Her husband's a doctor. They just built their house on a fjord in Norway. You know, I'm here doing my thing. And like, it's just, it's, it's fascinating that we can literally just pick back up exactly where we left off. Oh, because it's like, it's a soul connection. Mm-hmm. It's not like we connect over this and this and this. Like, we don't know. It's like, we have nothing really in common. I mean, yes, we're both parents now, but that's not ever anything that connected us originally. That's not how our friendship was formed. So it's really beautiful to have just talked to her on the phone this morning for like, you know, 20 minutes. And it was so wonderful. And so it's like so beautiful to find those people who can just see through all of the stuff mm-hmm. you're going through. And I wonder about our listener, if her husband is unrecognizable to him. And I you know, it's interesting to think about, maybe he is like, oh my gosh, no, what, like, mm-hmm. I still see you exactly the same, no matter what it is you're going through or whatever transition is happening in your life. Like, your spirit, who you are, is still exactly what it always has been. I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, and you hear that in couples therapy quite a bit, is where it's like, you know, he's just not the person I married. Mm-hmm. This is a different person.
Right. And yeah, sometimes that happens
for
too.
For sure. That does happen. And that's a valid point and a valid thing to discuss, when people change over time and they become unrecognizable and not the person perhaps we married. In marriage, or not marriage, not even just marriage, long-term relationships are so tough, as we talked about before. I mean, they're so rewarding.
Yeah.
But they're also so tough because you're with that person day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going through a bunch of different changes in your life, like we're talking about.
Right.
Different phases of our lives. And certain phases probably throw us for a loop a little bit, maybe.
Oh, totally. And yeah. Yeah. And different phases throw maybe one of the person in partnership for a loop and not the other,
right,
or
like,
or
me having a baby.
Yeah.
That threw me.
Probably didn't throw Mike.
Did not throw Mike for a loop. He was right. Kind of like, and then we had a baby and now we carry on. And I'm like, oh my God, my life is like totally turned upside down.
Yes.
For him. And I think, though, I love what you just said in terms of connecting on a spiritual level, mm-hmm. sort of a soul to soul level.
Yeah.
Because I think I get caught up on the surface stuff sometimes, like, your leg doesn't work.
Right.
How will you walk?
Right.
You know, like, how will you save me?
How's that going to affect me?
Yes, that goes, right. That's exactly right. That's self-centered.
Right.
Look at things. And right. That's where I have a hard time. Like, well, if you can't function the way you normally do, how does that affect me?
Yes.
Instead of just being like, or being more curious, like, okay, so you're not going to function this way anymore. So how are we going to create this relationship based now on this new
how will we
pattern?
Shift as a couple,
yes,
to compensate for your leg not working.
Right. Good point.
Like, yeah.
I think that's sort of more, at least maybe in couples counseling too, like, first figure out where the shift occurred.
Yeah.
Like, when did it occur? When did you first start seeing it occur?
Right.
And then did both people see it?
Yeah.
In other words, totally. I saw it as your partner. Did you see it yourself, or did you see it? And the partner might say, I don't feel it.
I don't feel it. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it both concur, you know, that, yeah, I have changed. Yes, he has changed. And it happened during this time period.
Right.
Then it's kind of like, well, what do we want to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how do we imagine the next phase to be? Sort of leaving ourselves open, I think, mm-hmm. instead of like, I get kind of closed bookish, as you know. So it's like, the phase has been like this.
Mm-hmm.
This chapter is written like this. And I know all the, and I know what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. then we go to dinner and then you walk me down the lane or whatever it is.
You're such a romantic.
And then now it's like, oh, then we go to dinner and then you hobble down the lane.
This doesn't fit into my romance novel. He's not hobbling in the book.
No hobbling in my book.
I think that's what you get, is you get disappointed that it's not fitting the, you know,
the
storyline of your romance novel.
Of my romance novel. So instead of just like, okay, well, then that was a really good chapter.
Right.
You can even say that, couple. Like, hey, couple, that's a good chapter.
That was a good one.
You guys had
now you're
going to awesome
go through
chapters.
A couple okay chapters.
We're going to have some okay chapters. That's okay.
That's okay.
Because not every chapter has to be like that chapter.
Yeah. In any great story, you go through not good times. Every single epic storyline has terrible times in it. Can we go back to Game of Thrones? I mean, come
here
on.
We go.
Yeah, but I'm done with it. I finished it this past weekend and I cried.
Oh, you cried.
Yeah, I cried. I was like, I told Rob, like, the, you know, like, Saturday night when I didn't have anything to watch, I cried. And I told him,
because you didn't have your thing.
I missed my friends. I mean, I literally hung out with those characters. Every day.
We were just talking about this. He was saying, when do you think, or maybe it was Everett, one of my kids. He was saying, when is the next great, like, series going to be? He was talking about, like, Star Trek. And then he talked about, like, Fellowship of the Ring. Was that The Hobbit?
Oh, yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. People
were... Harry Potter.
Oh, he said Harry Potter.
Game of Thrones.
But then I said Game of Thrones. That just...
That was it.
You're exactly right.
It was Game of Thrones.
That was Game of Thrones. I don't know what the next one will be, but...
I mean, I know...
For us, it was Game of Thrones.
I see you're one of my dearest friends, and I see you at work, and maybe once every few weeks outside of work.
Yeah, well, because we have children.
So, I mean, think about it. I spent every single night with these people. I love them.
Oh, no. And that, I love and them. They're my that friends. That shows you what a great series it is, or story, because the people we were trying to figure out, why are they so good?
Yes.
And because you start to identify with the characters.
Yeah.
They're your friends.
They're your friends.
You feel very close. You know them.
Yeah.
And that's why some of us were disappointed, I think, by with the end, ending, because the end. We knew them as characters. We know you.
Yeah.
Like, I know you,
we're like,
Snow.
You wouldn't have done that. I know you wouldn't. Yeah. And then it's Daenerys. Over and we have no closure, Daenerys. But I think when we think about our own personal lives and our own journeys and our own journey in relationship, it's okay to have those chapters, because that's where the strength comes from. Mm-hmm. In all of these great, great stories.
Oh, that's a good point.
All of the strength comes from the struggle.
Sometimes.
They do, but they usually come out stronger.
They do. Yeah.
They come out stronger. Theon, his story's heinous, but he ends up saving the day.
Oh my gosh, I love you, Theon.
I mean, he protects Bran at the end.
I love you.
And he went through hell and back.
Oh, yes.
You know, so I think when we're going through hell and we're like, I'm unrecognizable to myself, I think that there's just that, there's like, okay, but what am I learning here? Why am I in this? What is happening to me that I'm supposed to be gaining this like strength or this wisdom, or where am I meant to break so that I can rebuild?
Yes.
Where am I breaking so that I can rebuild, where I can find my strength from? You know, I've talked about this many times, but when I was going through all my weird physical ailments, I was super, super high anxiety. Like, Rob didn't live in the country at that time. I lived in a little apartment by myself, and I was like messed up.
Yeah, and you were kind of contributing. It was like a cycle.
Oh, anybody who has anxiety, I think you understand the anxiety loop. Mm-hmm. And then once you're on that loop, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
And you're like, how do I get off? It's like a little mouse in a thing, and your brain just runs and runs and runs. And you're like, I'm on the loop. I can't get off the loop. I can't get off the loop. How do I get off the loop? I mean, that's how anxiety feels to me.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah.
And I can feel when I'm off of it, and then I can feel when I'm on it, and I'm like, I'm stuck.
Right. Oh, that's a good point.
I'm stuck on the little wheel. Yeah.
How do I get off?
But for me, all of my, how do I get off? Like, that's when I started to really research, like, mind, body, metaphysics, healthy eating,
spiritual
practice. And so it's like, for me, I'm always like, thank goodness I went through that horrible time, which, yeah, I was probably pretty unrecognizable to myself too. And probably to other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so anxious.
Yes.
Sick.
Sick, anxious.
Sick, anxious.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, then it sparked all this other stuff that I went on my path towards.
Right.
So I'm like, what am I supposed to be getting out of this? And I don't know, at the moment, I probably wasn't like, I know that this is going to serve me later.
It's hindsight.
It's hindsight, but it's hindsight. So
hard to keep patience, you know, when you're going through it.
Oh, and I was in it for years.
Yeah.
Like, that was a long time.
A long haul.
It was a long haul.
Long haul.
Yeah, it was it was a rough. Yeah. And of course, I don't want to activate her, because just like you with your agoraphobia, you don't want to activate it. It's a really painful time.
And
but
she's totally not functioning.
Don't you think?
She can't have a job.
But don't you think it probably made you a better therapist? Julie and Linda got so mad about that podcast. They're like, these are real jobs.
And I'm.
They are real jobs.
They are real jobs. I know.
But you can't think of it as a real job, or you would quit.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of a real job. Like a job.
Okay, princess.
Well, it just makes it sound like you're trapped in something.
Imagine 95% of the world feels that way, just so you know.
I hit her on the head just there. No, but it is a real job. But for me to keep the fires burning,
I
feel like a real job. I want it to be creative and fiery.
And I like to keep you happy. And so we just pretend we don't have real jobs. So yeah, whatever.
Even though we do have real jobs. That's how I like it.
But don't you think your time with some of the mental health stuff you've personally gone through has made you a better therapist?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you not only have...
I wouldn't have been a therapist probably.
Sure, exactly.
I went to graduate school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I didn't think I could own it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people, you guys probably have friends and stuff where they're like, I always go to Jane, you know, and I'm like, oh, Jane. I wonder what Jane has, you know right. what I mean? But I was never the person that everyone, you know, was like,
yeah.
So I was like, oh no, that's not my calling.
You know, right.
You have to earn it. And I'm like, I didn't earn it. But then after I went through some things, I'm like, well, I think I could contribute something.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I have some knowledge.
Yes.
At least I can get out of the house and go to school.
Figured that out.
So maybe that will help someone someday.
Right.
You know, or I can learn more and help other people more. So it definitely
totally agree.
Sparked that.
When some people are like, I'm a life coach. I'm like, okay. You know, or like whatever. It's like, really?
I know. I'm like,
have
wow.
you gone through hell and back? And now do you?
Really nice life.
Huh. Well, it's like. Yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting how, you know, it's like sometimes I want to just make sure people have earned their badge a little bit before, you know.
I'm the same way, too. I'm like, I don't think you earned it.
I'm like, I don't think you ever had it very hard.
Yeah, I'm like, have you been crawling in the water for 4 hours?
And now are you a multi-billionaire? Because if that happened, then I'll go to you to figure out how you did that.
Yeah, exactly. Teach me your ways.
Teach me that.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I know. But I mean, that's obviously just a stupid example. But, you know, don't you think like your hard times have made you better at the work that then you've chosen to do?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
But sometimes it takes those moments of being unrecognizable. And I think, going back to Game of Thrones again, but you know when Arya's in the land of, like, no name?
The no name. With
she
the faces
had to become unrecognizable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, she literally had to
that
denounce.
Writer, by the way, George Martin.
Yeah.
Anyway, George, you rock. Like, those
wow.
worlds are so intense.
Yeah.
And you can see, I'm sorry to segue again, but you can see where the Hollywood writers got in. You know, the screenwriters got in at the end. They're like, we got to finish up.
I know. They had to end it quickly,
they
and they messed it up.
You feel it. Like, that's what we were
you
talking
feel the shift.
About.
They
I'm
did
like,
it wrong.
We were not true to the characters.
No.
This is why George took so long to make that. He had to feel like the guy Hodor.
Oh,
remember
my God, that
story?
Well, not everyone has
anyway, I got
seen. Oh, it's an amazing story.
About it, but
but for those of you who haven't seen Game of Thrones, like, Arya, like, one of the most amazing characters, she literally goes to this place of, like, no, like, what is it called? No.
The no faces.
No
or
faces
something.
Or whatever. And it's, like, she had
nobody
to denounce who she was.
And they remove their faces.
And they remove their faces. And they also are like, who are you? And if she says, I'm Arya Stark, they, like, beat her. Because she has to become unrecognizable. She has to let go of all of the attachments and preconceptions of who she is so that she can become who she's meant to be.
Yes, and actually her character ended pretty good.
Her character ended great.
Right. Now, those few other characters didn't. So if you writers are listening, you screenwriters, I mean, I totally understand what you're going through. But
so I don't know. I wonder if we can find ourselves in those moments of, like, being unrecognizable. And as you always say, B, which I love, it's just like, stay curious. Like, what is the lesson in this for me?
That saved my life so many times. I can't tell you when I start to be like, I can't do it or whatever. This makes no sense to me. It's almost about not making sense either. It's just like, stay curious, babe. Just stay in the game a little bit.
Stay in the game.
Just stay in the game. You don't have to have the answer, but you just have to see the little pieces of the puzzle for a second.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to be, you know, then it's like, oh, I see. This was a puzzle piece. I didn't get it.
Right.
And then I don't lose all hope.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you got to stay curious to just, it's almost like a doc and you're looking at this huge case, you know, and you're like, I don't understand why she has, you
diarrhea.
Know, diarrhea.
Again.
Again and again and again. But if I'm a
I
doc.
I just had to. I'm sorry.
That was good. I love the word diarrhea.
I know you do.
And you just stay in the game. It's not like you're solving the whole puzzle right away, but you're just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when she eats, I don't know, certain types of nuts, she gets diarrhea.
I'm sorry that we picked that one. But what a great example then. And so then rather than taking medical notes, like, what if that's when you journal?
Yeah.
You know, what if that's when you take personal notes and write like, wow, like,
what's up?
This is how I'm feeling, or this triggered this, or, you know, I'm having a really hard time connecting with whoever, or like, I was for some reason, like, feeling totally out of whack yesterday morning. And I was like, super grumpy. Oh my gosh. I had a really bad parenting moment. Can I say it?
Oh yeah.
Cause sometimes it makes me feel better when I say it out loud to a bunch of people.
And there's research about that as well.
Which is weird, but I'm going to do it anyways. Piper is so close to being potty trained, but sometimes she just refuses to go to the bathroom, you know? And we're about to get on the river, and Rob keeps being like, you got to be like, you got to be more patient with her. You just have to let go of the potty training stuff. I'm like, no, I don't want two kids in diapers. Like, I'm done. And we were in the outhouse before we got on the river, and I was like, Piper, you need to go potty right now. Like, we're all in here. We're doing this. Everyone's going. She wouldn't go. And then I was like, if you don't go, if you pee on the boat, I'm going to be so mad at you. And I'm like, that was literally the worst thing I could have told a little 2-year-old. I'm going to be so mad at you if you pee. And then I walk out of the outhouse, and there was like a really nice, beautiful looking family walking by. I'm like, of course they just heard me yelling at my 2-year-old that I'm going to be mad at her if she doesn't use the potty. And then I'm like, yeah. But, you know, and then like, so then it was like, I was like, why am I getting so upset? Why am I so quickened to like get upset right now? And I was just like getting annoyed at a lot of stuff. And I was like, okay, so start to figure out what it is. Like, what is it? And then I actually went and got a massage yesterday afternoon. And when I left the massage, it was like, I was a different person. And I was like, obviously I needed to move some stuff around and get a little energy work.
And line stuff up.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, so, you know, like just what do we need to do to get out of those places that feel not good for us, for our families, you know, like, do you need to do something for yourself? Do you need to journal? Do you need some time away? Like, what do you need to do?
Well, I think our writer brought up a good point. What if it's your partner that's actually going through that? You know, it's
ever been unrecognizable to you?
Well, his knee kind of bugs me, but.
Well, but okay. So if we go back to that, you know, the root of everything is either love or fear. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is your reaction is not based in love because you're annoyed at him.
Right.
So if you're, do you think everything can be traced back to love or fear? And if it's fear, don't you think you could trace it back to you're afraid that like your lifestyle may change, or that you've always probably really, really, really relied on him for his strength.
Yes.
Like that man is solid. And I think when he physically is unsteady, that probably rocks your world because it's so scary for you because he's always been such a source of strength and stability, and he grounds you. So it scares you when his body breaks down because you're in fear of your grounding because he's been that for you.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And so the way that you deal with it is then you get annoyed, not necessarily at him, but it's more fear underneath it.
It's fear underneath it. And then I voice the annoyance to him, and then I make bad jokes.
Right.
Hurtful jokes.
That hurt him. Just like me with my 2-year-old.
Yes.
That was a very terrible thing to say to her.
Because you want, I don't know why the hurting thing is like, you think you'll jolt them.
I think it'll jolt them
out of it, but it doesn't. It's probably the opposite.
Oh, it's the worst thing.
Because the people are just like, all right, I'm going to do it more. You know, now I can't walk at all. You know, it's like,
exactly.
What?
And now you have to push me around in a wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, no freaking way. But exactly right. You want to jolt with the fear. The fear is so like, it's so like energizing, I think, sometimes. Like, I got to run or shout.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why are you doing that? Why are you running or shouting?
Yeah.
Like, you look kind of crazy when you're doing that. And, but also back to the listener, when your partner, maybe your partner is unrecognizable. Like, partners go through things and you're like, I have no idea who that is anymore.
Right.
Maybe in a bigger picture, not like, say, a knee injury, which is pretty tangible. Mm-hmm. But let's say one of you become very spiritually active and another one doesn't.
Right.
And suddenly you're like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Nor do I, maybe I don't want to be spiritually active.
Right.
Or in
and I don't want to hear about all your spiritual activism.
Exactly. Right. And so what do you do with that stuff in your life? You know, and again, it's probably that same answer. You just have to stay curious.
Yeah.
Like, why is this happening now? Again, when did it start? Is the person happy where they're at? Like, if they want to be spiritually active and you don't want to be, that's just an example. And then figuring out if you guys want to be on that same path.
Right.
And how patient are you with it?
Yes.
Like you may be like, I'm not very patient.
It may be a phase for them. So can you see it out?
Yeah. Can you see it out?
B, have they underneath it all, have they changed? Because I think sometimes we do find partnership based on, why wouldn't you? But based on convenience, like we like to do the same things. Yes. We enjoy the same activities.
Which my husband and I
We
don't.
Have a similar, yeah. So if he's not like, let's read this book together and have book club about it, then you're right. But I need you for other things, you know, then it is scary when that changes. But like, you know, so I do think there are a lot of things in a partnership that you're like, well, this functions. We have a functioning partnership. Mm-hmm. So when something pulls out the functionality of the partnership, then it can be really upsetting.
Right. And you're not sure then what is the purpose?
Then what is the purpose
of this partnership?
Yes.
If we're not functioning
together. Right.
In some capacity. Then why are we doing it?
Well, and I think probably most people in a long-term relationship, as you always express so well, I so appreciate that you have taught me about, like, you're like, well, this is very typical in a long-term relationship. And then I'm like, okay, thank you for telling me this.
Because nobody tells us. We know about short-term.
Well, and I grew up in a divorced house. I've never lived in a long-term relationship setting. Right. So I don't know all this stuff. You're like, this is very normal for a long-term relationship. And then I'm like, okay, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
So I think that some of us can agree that sometimes it really just feels functional.
Yes. And you nothing know? More.
And nothing more sometimes. So when something changes, so it's not working anymore.
That's a very good point.
But then
kind of like roommates.
Yeah, or business partners, you know, transactions are happening a lot.
And you're pretty functional, you're doing this, that, you're functioning pretty well, and then suddenly when that gets out of
When that gets out of whack, then you're like, "Uh-oh." But maybe then, I mean, and this is where we can open up that curiosity. It's like well, then maybe is this a calling for us to deepen our soul connection so that our relationship isn't just based on the functionality and the convenience of our relationship.
That's what we're trying to find here.
Maybe we're having like a slight chaos on the surface level. So it demands that our roots grow deeper. I don't know.
I like that.
I mean, who knows?
And the couple can decide. Maybe they want to and maybe they don't.
Exactly. And either way is just fine.
And I love how you said sometimes we have to be patient.
Mm.
So you might have – and maybe you can't be. Maybe you already have been for months on end already. Yeah. But maybe you haven't been and you're like – and, you know, for me, that's a good lesson. It's like I just need to be patient here for a little bit and just let this chapter kind of start. Mm-hmm. And go for a little bit and see where it goes.
Well, and
because I don't know what's at the other side.
You don't know yet. And you know what? For a long time, you've been wanting Mike to slow down. You've been wanting Mike to delegate, you know? So maybe this is going to make him start to delegate more.
Yeah, that's
And maybe true. Like this is actually going to be a good thing for your relationship long term because it will help teach him that it's okay to rely on other people to do some of this work.
Right. Yes. That's a good
so
point.
So who knows? In the bigger picture. But we just like to stay so focused on the like, what is the screenshot in this moment?
Right. That's right. That's a good point.
And that always isn't, I mean, that's, you know, just, it's not always the best way to, it's not always accurate.
Yeah. It's kind of like our friend, ours who committed suicide and he didn't realize that they just had his memorial. 300 people showed up for his memorial. I don't think he realized how much impact he had on people's lives. Right. And if there is some way to be like, can you just wait? Like, just wait a few more chapters here. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see. You know, you'll see the fruition of all the work that you've done that you may not see right now.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, so let's have some patience. Now, that's not to say maybe for our listener or other people out there, it's like, I have been waiting for
I've been patient for so long.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
And
then.
We all have our non-negotiables, you know, if something happens and it's like, no.
Yes.
That is a non-negotiable.
In like, my book, I just can't get past. I wish I could, but I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course, that's great. And I know a lot of people in this last year who got a divorce and they're all much happier.
Much happier.
Literally every single person I know who's gotten a divorce this past year is like 1,000 times happier.
And they look so different.
They all look very different.
They all look so much lighter.
I'm thinking about like 4 or 5 women and they're all just like different human beings.
Wow, she looks so different. Yeah. I didn't realize that her partnership at the time was causing so much pressure. Mm-hmm. Cause it's almost like their faces.
Well, it's the mind body stuff. It looks like, you know, just,
there's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And then that weight is lifted and they look so
everyone looks
like,
different.
Wow. It's like you saw the sun finally.
Absolutely.
You know, you weren't seeing the sun for so long.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're definitely not saying stick it out here when you're miserable, mm-hmm. but it's like, if you are committed to a partnership and you love that person and you want to figure it out, like, yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of interesting stuff to think about. Yeah. I think in my relationship too, you know, I'm just thinking like, has Rob ever been unrecognizable or what would make him unrecognizable to me? And like, I don't know. It's interesting. I think some of the things I feel like a fear of him changing in ways that were, hard for me.
Mm-mm. Yes. Good point.
You know, it's kind of like, it's a selfish thing. Yeah. I was like, well, Rob is like such a giver. Like, I know that he's always there for me. Like, he's always there for our family. He would sacrifice anything to be like, oh, sure, I'll do that for you. Or let me look that up for you. Or I'll go get that for you.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm like, well, what if he stopped doing that?
Right, right. And then what would I do? Like, and then, how would I redefine that?
Yeah. And like, could I not get upset with him because like he wasn't, you know, and he just had some energy. I know we keep talking about this energy work that we all had done, but he had energy work done from this woman too. And she said, you are such a giver and you love, 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 and you want to take care of everyone and help everyone. She's like, it's like your heart is like, there's so much pressure on your heart because it's like, it just wants to take care of everything. She said, that's you're on your way to a heart attack. Mm, yeah. So then I'm like, he needs to stop doing this. I was like, but to everyone except me. You know, so right. It's like it came back to me. So I'm like, okay, so then that would be an interesting thing for me to be like, it's better for you and you are healthier and I need to support you if that, you know.
Yes, in that picture.
In that picture.
Too. Yeah, and that's a good question to ask ourselves too when we're asking if we think our partner has changed.
Is our partner unrecognizable or are they just unrecognizable to us?
To us because of something maybe we're fixated on a little bit, that we're dependent on.
We're dependent on, yeah.
And then again, that happens in long-term relationships much more so than short-term because,
oh, yeah.
You know, long-term, you just develop these patterns.
You do develop patterns. Totally. That's such a good way to put it.
Young, you know, early relationship and I'm just so malleable. Like, yeah, whatever, you know, like come, go, whatever, freedom.
Yeah.
But, you know, years and years and years, I'm very like, this is how you are, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes the person's like, well, I am, but I think I want to do
but
that.
I don't really want to be like that anymore.
I think I need to do it different now.
Yeah.
Like for Rob, like maybe I do need to not be so giving.
Not take on everybody's stuff and help
whatever.
Them with everything.
Right, exactly. And Mike, maybe I don't want to be the strong guy.
Yes.
Know, carrying everyone around all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, cause like now I have to climb up in the boat and do a bunch of stuff. It's hilarious. But you know what? It's good for me.
Right.
Because it's like, oh. They're like, can you do this? Can you move the engine? Can you turn the battery on? Can you? I'm like, okay, here I go.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, oh, look, I did it. I've done it 100 and I've
but
done it like
the,
10 times.
The more things that you know that you can do on your own, the stronger you feel in your sense of being able to take care of yourself too.
Right. Yeah, good.
You know, point. And then it's like the less we maybe like, I don't mean to say this just about you, I think, but all of us, the less we use other relationships mm-hmm, to take care
that.
Of our needs.
Because
mm-hmm, yes. We kind of trust our own abilities more or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. I posted something in the community page the other day. It was like, and your happiness, what was it?
Oh,
happiness
yeah.
isn't dependent on you.
Like what?
I know. It's like, what? It is.
I know. Right.
But it's, but that's hopefully our goal as we progress in life is
yeah.
that, you know, we can be in charge of our own happiness and our own success and our own feeling of self-worth, I
right.
guess.
Right, yeah.
So that's I love what I that. Hope we can do.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks so much for the great discussion prompt.
Yes, we loved it. It was really, really good and a great thing for us to think about.
Yeah, and hopefully for all you out there too.
All you listeners.
And by the way, UlaCon, it is live on our website.
UlaCon.
It's the 10th anniversary of Ula. I can't believe it. It's so crazy. So we invite all of you to Missoula to come and just enjoy this beautiful community that you are a part of, whether you've been doing Ula for years, since the beginning, never tried a class. I know there's some of you out there as well. We would love to spend a few days together. Be amazing.
In Missoula.
In Missoula.
Montana. Beautiful, beautiful city.
Okay, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.